You're listening to Fox Sports 920 The Jersey. It's time for the Mitch Henderson Show. Let's go live to the Alchemist and Barrister on Witherspoon Street in Princeton. Here's your host, Derek Jones.
Good evening and welcome to the Alchemist and Barrister in Princeton, New Jersey. It is the Mitch Henderson Show right here on Fox Sports Radio 920 The Jersey. I'm Derek Jones, joined by the head coach of Princeton Tigers basketball, Mitch Henderson. Coach, how are you?
I'm doing great, Derek. Great to be here at the MB. Best crowd we've had yet.
Yeah.
That's really nice.
Absolutely, and a lot of fun stuff to talk about as it relates to Tigers basketball as we get into last weekend and, of course, this coming weekend. More action at Jadwin Gymnasium on the way. But first, let's touch on last Saturday night first with the Tigers grabbing the 69-68 win over Dartmouth. Back and forth game throughout. The Tigers start off with that lead of 11-2. Dartmouth fights back, and that game pretty indicative of the Ivy League season so far.
Yeah, exactly. I was telling a friend of mine who was just here shortly a little bit ago that, you know, I don't know if I've seen any more overtime games in the league than we've seen this year. I told the guys after the game and the media after the game, I think that's a really well-coached Dartmouth team, and they challenged us. And you know, look, like, I'm an armchair quarterback too, right? I sit and watch games. I'm like, oh, man, I would do this. And we tried everything in that game. And our guys played so hard. And we needed to squeeze one out. We were down, I think, four, maybe even five with just a few minutes left. And I thought the play of Jalen in high ball screen actions and then Richmond late game was just high level. And really helped us pull one out.
No question. The Tigers certainly late in that contest had to come up with some key plays because Dartmouth took a four-point lead late in the contest, and then the Tigers were able to fight back. Brendan Barry, 10 of 17, 26 points. Take me through your mindset there at the end of the game. It's a three-point game, and then Barry, just through the way they worked the ball around, able to get his hands on the basketball. And I believe that you said after the game was over, Miles Stevens got a piece of
it. I asked Miles. I gave him a big hug, and I said, please tell me that, because I thought he got a piece of it. Mm-hmm. He thought so too.
Yeah.
But I told the guys in the last media, I said, look, if he gets another look, it's going in. You all know it's going in. He knew it was going in. And, you know, he didn't even, like, the net wasn't moving when he would shoot. So we're up three. The ball gets rotated around, and Miles came up with just an incredible block. And again, maybe he didn't get it, but I think he did. And then we were able to run a nice little play to get Devin the ball there at the very end of the game. So Devin made a really smart play throwing the ball up in the air. But that's a heck of a win.
Absolutely. A huge win for the Tigers because they improved to 5-3 in a crowded Ivy League run for the top four spots that we'll get into in a little bit. But you mentioned the Devin Kennedy play there at the end of the game. Sometimes players don't have the presence of mind to simply think about that type of thing, to just throw the ball up in the air, because at that point, time's going to run out.
I've never seen it. And, you know, it's not something you coach, but seniors tend to do those things. Mm-hmm. And he threw it up in the air, and I couldn't help myself. I started smiling. I was so happy that he did it. And, you know, because, you know, have you been watching college basketball? Like these games, like full court, half court shots. You know, the end of the buzzer. Seems like it's an epidemic this year. And you know, I was reading something about how games are slowing down, Derek. You know, but really, and I'm sure they are. If you look at the stats, they're slowing down. But games do slow down a little bit later in the season, and they're, you know, and also like the importance of like the last six possessions of a game in a really tight game are just they're way heightened. So I don't know. I'm fascinated by games that are tight. I don't like to play in them, but like to watch them.
And you mentioned that point. The eight games this weekend in the Ivy League were decided by an average of about 4 points per contest. To your point, certainly things have tightened up a great deal in the league.
Yeah. So, you know, we've been watching both Cornell and Columbia's games, and Dartmouth is 2-6. I wish I could rattle this off, but I think they've lost. They lost overtime to Penn on Friday night, and they lost us by one. They could easily be 6-2.
Yep.
They had Harvard. They beat Harvard by 20 or something like that, and Harvard has two really close games. So, you know, I don't even think of it in terms of parity. I think of it in terms of matchups. I think that the league is really evenly matched. And there's not a team in the league that puts a bad player on the floor.
And you get that impression from watching the game on a night-in, night-out basis, because sometimes you see teams struggle when their top guys are taken away, but a lot of complementary players around the league have certainly stepped up to help the charge for their respective teams.
Yeah, well, you know, we had a lot of success a couple of years ago, and we would always say, like, man, it would be great if we could get all five guys, you know, all these guys to play well at the same time. Just never happens. So you're going to need pieces. And the best teams, as I'm watching Yale, as I'm watching Harvard, are getting major contributions from the pieces. And we're capable of that, too. And I have full confidence that our group is ready for that. And as long as we're willing to work at it, I think it's going to be. And that's the other thing. Just because you work hard at something doesn't mean it's going to come true, right?
Like, right.
You've got to do the littlest things the best.
And that's an important concept for sure. You look at the Tigers' numbers from Saturday, 18 points for Richmond Arie Raguzzo, 7 rebounds. He was 7 of 9 from the field. Also, 3 other players in double figures as well. The aforementioned Miles Stevens, 17 points, 8 rebounds. Jalen Llewellyn chipping in with 14, Devin Kennedy with 10. So you get the balanced effort out of your starters that certainly helped carry you through in a game where it came down to the last couple of plays.
Yeah, well, again, you know, Barry and the kid Foy were, I thought, just terrific. And, you know, Barry's from the Jersey Shore here, and, you know, we're tight with his high school coach. And, you know, I saw him before the game, and he had, like, this excited look on his face, and I was like, you son of a gun. You know, I know why you're excited, because, you know, and then his guy, you know, he was just terrific. And, you know, basketball is – this is why it's such a fun game, because I think Barry loves to play, you know, and when you love to play – and we have guys that love to play. And when you love to play, good things can happen. And I thought Saturday night, while it was a heartache game, it was a fun game.
Absolutely. A great time for the Tigers to grab a win. 13-8 now on the season, 5-3 in the Ivy League. Dartmouth dropping to 11-13 and 2-6 in Ivy League play. The Tigers will see them actually next weekend when you make the trip to Dartmouth and Harvard. Speaking of the Crimson, a night earlier for the Tigers, a 78-69 loss. Again, a close game that Harvard was able to pull away late in the contest thanks to the play of Bryce Aiken, 33 points in the contest. The Tigers just unfortunately could not come up with another answers in that one.
I thought you'd start chronologically here and go Friday and Saturday, setting me up. Friday night, man. Wait, we really feel like, and all of us, you know, that was a tough one to swallow because we were up 56-50 and we had multiple opportunities to extend that lead and came up empty on a few possessions and. We looked closely at it, and then Aiken made some big plays, and the 4-point play that he had, the 3, and he gets fouled, seemed to unlock him, and you know, and then the kid, the freshman Kirkwood, I thought made some huge shots. So that's what you have to do. You know, they went 10-for-20 from 3, and you look at a couple key stats over the course of the game, and you know, for us, it was our turnovers in the first half, I thought, that really doomed us, and then second half was their made threes, which, you know. We all you got to give Harvard lots of credit. You know, they were really sharp on the weekend and made some big plays when it counted.
They went 2-0 on the weekend, 50% from 3 last Friday night. One thing that struck me from the weekend, you look at the rebounding numbers, and they're almost even in the two games. I know you and I have talked about that Friday to Saturday crossover in games, and regardless of what happens the night before, you have to start over again and start with a new process for the next night, but it always seems in those Saturday games to come down to, you know, gut check. After a while, the scouts and everything like that, sure, that works, but a part of it is, too, what you have inside.
And veterans. Veterans have been there before. I'm watching the Yale-Cornell game, and, you know, Cornell, it's Saturday night, it's late in the game, Cornell gets up 6, maybe up 5. And then Oney comes right down the court like it's nothing and just dribbles and lays it in. And, you know, it's a strange concept, Derek, and I don't, you know, I couldn't put my finger on it, but it's you play almost as if you don't care. Not care like the way you and I might care, right? Like that's not an emotional thing. You play loose. You play free. And, of course, a lot goes into that, but experience helps a ton. And, you know, I think guard play and having a veteran. Now, also, we're so used at this point to watching Richmond play inside, and I thought he was just fantastic on Friday night. And you can look at Friday night's game in a lot of different ways, and I know a lot of people would, but I tend to take away the lessons, and then we grow from there.
And we talked about the matchup with Chris Lewis being a factor. Chris Lewis actually fouled out of the game on Friday night. And then also, as well, he was limited to just 9 points. So the Tigers doing a very nice job against him, as Richmond Ariri Guzzo in that contest finishing with 15 points and 11 rebounds and a double-double. It's interesting after watching him, if you want to say he struggled against Brown, and then coming into this weekend and getting through those two games, he's the real deal for the Tigers. He's, again, impressive last weekend.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I haven't seen him struggle, you know. He's, you know, what's good, too, behind the scenes, we had this winter sports luncheon on Monday of last week, and Richmond was one of the four athletes that got up and spoke, and, you know, somebody asked him a question, and, you know, it was about making free throws in the Arizona State game, and he pauses, thoughtful, thinks about it, wants to give, you know, an actual correct answer, says the answer kind of, you know, the way Richmond would, and, you know, I think the sign of what I've learned in coaching is, like, I learned so much from the players, and Richmond teaches me so much, and, you know, humility in the light of success. I wish I could, I don't know, I hope the mold's not broken with Richmond. He's, you know, I hope people aren't tired of me talking so highly of him, but I know how unusual this is, especially from where he started and to where he is now. It's highly unusual, and it's all credit to him, really.
And it's been a special part of the process of watching this season's version of the Princeton Tigers. As the Tigers now will turn the page to get set for the New York trip. We'll talk about that in just a few moments and much more from the Alchemist and Barrister right here in downtown Princeton, New Jersey. Fox Sports Radio 920 The Jersey. Stay tuned. We'll have more headed your way right after this.
And now, more of the Mitch Henderson Show with Derek Jones on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey.
Welcome back to the Mitch Henderson Show right here on 920 The Jersey, Fox Sports Radio, as we bring you an inside look at Princeton Tigers basketball right here from the Alchemist and Barrister in downtown Princeton, New Jersey. And, Coach, as we now take a look at how things play out from here, the Tigers have four of their final six games at Jadwin Gymnasium, and now you welcome in the New York teams who certainly, Columbia's obviously gone through their struggles, Cornell right in the thick mm-hmm. of things, and that's where we'll start with the Big Red. How much have you learned since that first game against the Big Red about them, and what do you think about this Friday's matchup?
Well, the first thing you learn is the first game is ancient history. You know, you playing a team the second time, and what happened in the first game, nothing. There's no correlation, you know. However, there's certain parts of the scout, you know. And what you'll also see is, they played four games. They had a really terrific road weekend against Harvard-Dartmouth, winning both games, and that's one of the more impressive things anybody's done in the league. Brian's doing a great job. Matt Morgan's, you know, one of the toughest covers in the league. You know, the kid Julian's really playing well. You know, and the kid Behan, right? So we were, I think, fortunate up there to win one in overtime, but a really hard-fought game both ways. And, you know, they present real strong challenge in particular, and it's just, I think, their ability to score in transition. They're really aggressive in that sense, and, you know, the fact that Morgan's on the court really, really challenges you.
Absolutely, and you mentioned Stephen Julian. He is a versatile player from them, especially from the defensive side, being able to block shots, being able to rebound as well, and that seems to really have helped their defensive presence, which is improved from a season ago.
Yeah, you know, he reminds me of some of the players that I used to see in the Big Ten at like the three-man spot. Like, Illinois used to have these guys that were 6'6", 6'7", and you're like, man, what are we going to do about this guy? You know, I think he's leading the league in blocks, maybe leading the league in steals. He He's long. They, you know, Brian does a good job. They put him up at the front of the press. He seems also committed to doing what he needs to do to make his team successful. So, you know, I think everybody gets a little bit of confidence knowing Morgan's on the floor, and that's the key, right? Like, he's such a challenge to guard, and you know, we know we got our hands full.
There's so many guys in the league right now that are very impressive in terms of scoring the basketball. When you played, or were there any guys that stood out to you who remind you of any of the current guys in the Ivy League right now?
Well, you know, certainly, like, you know, back in the day, Jerome Allen was such a tough player and could score very easily. But, you know, I was fortunate when I was here that, you know, a lot of the really good players in the league were on our team. Mm. So, you know, Brian and Gabe and Steve, you know, James Mastalio, Sidney Johnson, these are all, like, players of the year. So, you know, we had three titles and we had two undefeated seasons, and Brian was such a big part of those teams. So I don't see anybody like Brian in the league, but Mie Ioni, Matt Morgan, Brodeur to some extent, maybe actually Brodeur a lot, Bryce Aiken, Seth Towns, who's hurt. I don't think the league's seen, you know, this kind of play throughout, you know. I mean, and in particular with Matt Morgan, I mean, he just, nothing's safe, right? Like, he can kind of change a game on a dime, and he's fun to watch. Just terrible to coach against, but fun to watch.
Certainly one of the big changes for the Tigers from the first time around versus the second time. This time, Devin Kennedy will be a part of the mix for the Tigers. When you take a look at his addition, and then also some of the guys certainly off the bench have really stepped up. Max Johns in particular has really added a nice punch for the Tigers, a little bit offensively and defensively as well. So it's a little bit of a different matchup from the first time around.
Yeah, so, you know, Ethan Wright played a couple key minutes in the first Cornell game. Max Johns, you just mentioned. Look, like, I can remember 2 years ago, 3 years ago, when we went 12-2 in the league, Miles and Devin making key contributions to the program. So, you know, every single team in the league has to have contributions top to bottom from the lineups that comes in. So Max is playing with confidence. Made a big three on Saturday night, made a big three on Friday night. You know, I think, if I'm getting that right. But, you know, the main thing is Max was on the radio show a couple weeks ago. I was reminding the team that he said this, and you asked him what his role was.
Yeah.
And he said, defense and cutting hard. And I think I may have told him that a couple weeks ago. And, man, I love that, you know. And I certainly don't want him to put himself in any kind of hole because he's capable of a lot more. But I think somebody that's really accepting of what they're supposed to be doing is really helpful to the team's success.
Absolutely. And the Tigers will look to carry that forward against Cornell on Friday night as the Big Red at 5-3 right now, tied with the Tigers as the Ivy League standings currently stand. Yale at 7-1, Harvard at 6-2, Princeton and Cornell each tied at 5-3. A night later for the Tigers, Columbia at 1-7. But I haven't found many people who have talked about Columbia who actually legitimately believe that's a 1-7 team in the Ivy League.
They're not 1-7. The league's, there's two teams in the league that are 2-6, and they're not 2-6 teams, or maybe one. The 3-4 teams, three and five teams, Penn and Brown, they're not 3-5 teams. You know, these are teams with, you know, Penn won the Big Five. Brown's got their best non-conference record to date. The league isn't just really good, it's really balanced, and there's no gimmies, you know. And the league tournament has provided a carrot out there, and I don't care what anybody says. This is a totally different ball game, and it's a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You take a look at how these teams have played on a weekly basis.
Everybody's playing for their lives.
Yeah, absolutely. And you take a look at Columbia, who, again, they've had some hard luck losses. A game against Harvard a couple of weeks ago where they lose in triple overtime.
They're up 13 against Penn. Mm-hmm. They're down one against Yale. At home, they're, you know, the back and forth game both times against Cornell. You know, they basically have a last second shot to sort of win it at Cornell. So, you know, man, we got our hands full.
guys like Jake Killingsworth, Gabe Stefanini, when Quentin Adlish, of course, when guys like that are able to get hot, how difficult is it to guard a team like that where you have a lot of perimeter guys who can cause some different defensive issues?
Well, you can't let the threes, you know, the main thing is you can't let the three, a barrage of threes discourage you. Can't, you know, what are you going to do? You can't hang your head in the middle of a Saturday night game. We got to, okay, what are we going to do about it? And we just have to make every one of those shots as hard as we can. You know, those guys are just terrific shooters. And it challenges your defense in different ways. But I would just say, you know, they're going to make some, you know, and that's the key. But it can't bury you.
No question is the Tigers did an outstanding defensive job the first time around on the road at Columbia, limiting the Lions to under 50 points and one of the top defensive performances of the Tigers this season. Certainly a few bumps in the road from a numerical standpoint from the defense, but as the weekend wore on, certainly when the plays needed to be made, the Tigers were able to do that.
Well, you know, I think we were up 34-17 at the half. They come out pretty hot to start the second half. And then our defense locked in again. And, you know, there's different iterations of us so far this season. But I've just been trying to ask the guys, like, don't be done growing. Don't be done changing because there's so much basketball ahead. You know, you're either in a month, right? You're either in the tournament or you're not. The NCAA tournament. You're either in it or you're not. And the best thing in the world is when the days get long and you're finishing practice and it's still light out.
Yeah,
it's because it's March and you're still playing and you're practicing. That's the absolute coolest thing. And the work that you do now, I still think the league's pretty open.
Absolutely. And the Tigers will try to make a step forward on Saturday night as a part of the New York trip. Before we let you go, the odd situation popping up in the Saturday night game against Dartmouth, that shot clock turning off and not working for about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Can you remember something like that odd happening in a game?
I haven't seen it, you know, and we have terrific people working here at Princeton, and, you know, that everybody acknowledges that, you know, that's a little unfortunate. You're sort of hopeful that, you know, nobody wants to disrupt the game, but things happen, right?
Like, yeah.
And it's still, like, every single guy on the team has played AAU or, you know, you're playing 8 a.m. games, and there's supposed to be three refs. And I can't tell you how many times I've been in an 8 a.m. game, and there's one ref there. And another ref's there, and he forgot his shirt. And, you know, so you got to wait a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, or somebody sprains their ankle, a ref sprains their ankle, or the scoreboard stops working. You know, yeah, we've been here before. Let's not make a federal case out of it. Let's play. And it affected both teams equally, and you just move on.
A couple of keys here for the Tigers to come away with a couple of victories.
Well, we got to play with some grit, right? Like, this is, here we go, right? Like, we got six left. You know, our seniors, we have an opportunity to play at home for our seniors. I think you got to be your cut's got to be a little bit faster. You got to, you know, you can't expect this thing to fall in your lap. There's just no way that's doing it. At this point, I think they understand that. That's the first thing. Second thing, we got to make some shots. We've been getting open ones. We got to put them in.
The Tigers will try to go 2-0 on the weekend and improve their standing in the top four in the Ivy League. Coach, best of luck to you,
Derek,
and the Tigers.
Great to see you. Hey, man, what a turnout here tonight. I mean, I usually fluff it up a little.
Yeah.
But this is we're packed. And, you know, Art and his buddies here at the AMB, this is just a terrific night.
Fantastic turnout. We're here each and every Tuesday night beginning at 6 for the Mitch Henderson Show. As we will take a quick break, when we come back, we will hear from Jonathan Jones and Sky Edden from the Tigers coaching staff. Stay tuned. We'll have more headed your way right after this.
And now, more of the Mitch Henderson Show with Derek Jones on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey.
Welcome back to the Alchemist and Barrister here in downtown Princeton, New Jersey. Derek Jones with you, joined by a couple of special guests, which we'll get to in a moment. But first, a reminder, the Alchemist and Barrister is proud to host the Mitch Henderson Show every Tuesday night. Join us each week for the latest on the Princeton Tigers basketball team. Stop in the A&B all day Sunday, Monday, or Tuesday with a ticket stub from any Princeton men's or women's 2018-19 home basketball game and enjoy a free order of Alchemist and Barrister signature nachos as we right now bring in two members of the Tigers coaching staff, Sky Etten and Jonathan Jones. Gentlemen, welcome back to the show.
What's going on, Derek?
What's up, Derek?
Great to have you back, and certainly a fun time of year for the Tigers and for the entire Ivy League, as we just kind of outlined with Coach Henderson. Let's go back to last weekend. Certainly an up-and-down weekend for the Tigers. You have the loss on Friday night to Harvard, and then, of course, the bounce back Saturday against Dartmouth. How about the emotional highs and lows of last weekend in that Harvard game? Obviously, Bryce Aiken took over in that second half and really was able to help carry Harvard down the stretch. What did you see in that game that made the difference?
Yeah, you hit it on the head right there. It was Bryce Aiken that was able to get hot. I think he had 7 points in back-to-back possessions in terms of, and 1-3 and then another three off the dribble. So, he really got going, and that was part of the scout, is to try to limit him and, keep his opportunities far and few, and unfortunately he was able to get hot there, especially down the stretch.
Coach Jones, we've really highlighted the play of Richmond Ariri Guzzo, who had a double-double on Friday, and that was no easy feat considering he was going up against Chris Lewis for a lot of that game. What did you see out of his performance on Friday?
Well, we just try to focus with Richmond on just making all Chris Lewis's shots tough. I believe last year Richmond played really well against Harvard, had a really good game, and this year was just more of like, now Richmond's really in tune to himself, so he played the best that he could. He made him take as tough shots as possible, but got to be honest, Chris Lewis is pretty good. So he made some tough shots, but at least that, he got fouled out, and Richmond still played up to par, which is great to see, And he's been doing really well in Ivy League play, and hopefully he just continues to do that and just take it game by game.
Certainly, when you take a look at postseason honors for the Ivy League, his name will be in discussion. You have to thank for all Ivy honors. So you go through Friday night. Coaching never seemingly stops, especially this time of year. How difficult was it to keep the guys up after a tough loss like that against Harvard?
That's the name of the game in this league. Our league is really unique in a sense that you play back-to-back nights, and I don't know if any league in the country is like that. I don't think so. You really got to flush Friday and move on to Saturday, and really got to focus one game at a time. In Friday, it's all about Friday, and you don't even worry about Saturday. You don't even think about it. And then when you get to Saturday, you try to learn from the things that you did poorly and you did well, and move on. But you got to get Saturday, and it's really, you got to look at it as one game at a time, one moment at a time, and really be prepared for that.
And the Tigers were able to get Saturday 69-68 over Dartmouth. Both of your thoughts as you see Brendan Barry holding the basketball down 3.
Not good. I can speak for both of us. Not good. The guy is leading the country in 3-point percentage. So anytime he touched the ball, it was the coaching staff was sweating. That's for sure.
Yeah, and it looked like he just missed it. It wasn't like it was completely off. Like, he just missed it. And sometimes, in league play, that's how the games come down to, just maybe one or two plays. We've been talking about that with the whole coaching staff. Like, sometimes these Ivy League games, like, it doesn't matter who it is. You can say Columbia, Cornell, whoever it is, yeah, like, these games might come down to one guy stunting and getting back, one guy getting a good block out and rebounding, or one offensive rebound and then finishing the game. So you never know how it can go.
How difficult is it, especially the way the league is playing out this year, where every game is seemingly so difficult to play and get a win in? How difficult is it to keep your eyes and your focus away from that top four and thinking about, well, where do we stand here and there, versus being able to make sure you keep your eye on the ball, so to speak, and play effectively on a night-in, night-out basis?
Well, just like this past weekend, we could have been really down after, Harvard and everything. But as the coaching staff, we try to just bring the players along, and just say, listen, this game, all right, we can't get it back. It's over. It's done with. Now let's focus on, Dartmouth. Let's focus on the next game. And that's what we try to do. And as a player, it's tough because you just want to be like, oh, we could have had that one. We was just right there. It's in our home gym, and we have all the fans, and everybody came out. But sometimes when the game's over, let it go. Let's move on to the next game. And like I said, we won by 1 point. So it was a tough match, but we was able to, everybody to muster up and, stay together as a team, as a unit, and we was able to come out on top.
Coach Ed, it always seems like whenever it's Harvard first, then Dartmouth, it always seems to be a physical challenge in some sense for the Tigers to gather that emotion back to make the run to grab the win the next night. How important was it to see the Tigers have that finishing kick there at the end?
Really important. You know, it's, you know, anytime, no matter who you play, you know, just playing back-to-back is physically draining, emotionally draining. But, you know, when you had such a great crowd Friday night, so many students in the building, really great energy, and to be right there and, you know, come just a couple possessions short, you know, it's really hard. And then to have to refocus for a really good Dartmouth team. I mean, their record does not tell the story about how good they are. And actually, it was funny, Derek. I heard a stat the other day that our league has had the closest games, the most close games in the NCAA. So it just shows you how much parity there is in the league, how good the league is. And, you know, for us to just be able to pull out a win just by grit, and I thought, you know, I heard you talking with Coach Henderson about it, you know, Saturday nights come down to grit and toughness, and, you know, sometimes scouting reports go out the window, and I think that's what it was, just making one more play than they did and, you know, fortunate to come up with that win.
You mentioned that stat. I believe it's KenPom who ranks the different leagues versus how the percentage of games that actually come out to be decided by 4 points or less and then go to overtime, and the Ivy League one out of 32, which says a lot about the entire league, but also says a lot about how guys in the league can play when the game gets tight, because that's not easy.
Absolutely. I mean, there are a lot of guys on a lot of teams that can make big shots and big moments. And, you know, we're playing two of them this weekend with Matt Morgan and Gabe Stefanini and Quentin Adlish. So, you know, they're really, you know, really good and do not shy away from the moment. So it's going to be a challenge.
One thing that's always interested me, when you go through the second time around, and now the Tigers, 8 games into the season, this is their second time around with everybody in the league, how easier or difficult is it to prepare for an opponent the second time around?
Well, for the second time around, sometimes it's tough, but like Cornell, like everybody on our team knows who, you know, Morgan is, you know, and he's been putting up big-time numbers in his last 3 games. Now, luckily, you know, we have, you know, we've been riding on our defense a whole lot, and when we played them up at their place, it still went in overtime, but we was able to, you know, stay together and get a win, and they got a whole lot of good guys. It's not just Morgan. Now, everything does run through him, but, you know, they got Boeheim who really can really shoot it, you know, and they have, you know, Warren who's really good in the post, and he can also shoot it as well, and Julian, he's like a 6'6", you know, guy that who's really athletic, and you just never know when he could jump, rebound, or get to the rim, you know, so it's just all about now. We know who you are. Now let's try to limit some things that you do well, you know, and that's all we're trying to get our team to understand.
One thing that's really impressive about this particular version of Cornell is that in the past, if Matt Morgan didn't get going early, they were in big trouble. It looks like in some of these games now, especially during this current run that they're on, even if he doesn't put up the numbers right away, they've been able to find enough support, whether it's defensively or offensively, to still be a challenge for teams.
Yeah, like, and I think in our last game when we played Cornell, I think Morgan only had about 16 or 18 points, but he's still so much effective. And sometimes it just comes down to you just really just like, it's like we talked about it before, it's one last play, one last, you know, one last opportunity, one last cycle that comes down to the game. And I think Coach Henderson and the coach said, we were talking about it today, I think in our Ivy League, you know, we've had the most overtime games, I think they said, in league. Like, we've already had two of them. We had Penn and Cornell, but there's been so many overtime games because the games are always close and it's always tough. And it's never just like, oh, the game is over. Like, teams are playing just as hard and everybody's trying to make it to, you know, to the final.
And it has to be an important part here of the run down the stretch. Coach Etten, it has to feel good to be back at home playing games at Jadwin Gymnasium, because you have that stretch where you have 5 of your first 6 Ivy League games on the road, and sometimes, depending on how that plays out, that can be a tough stretch. It can define a season. The Tigers did not let it define their season in a negative way.
Absolutely. I mean, it's huge to be at home. Everything is different. I mean, you know, even this weekend, we were on a 4-hour bus ride from Columbia to Cornell, and you get in at 2 in the morning, and just to be able to sleep in your own beds and rest and shoot in your own gym, you know, makes all the difference. So, you know, being at home is really nice, and last year it was reversed, and it was really tough. So, you know, I think, you know, we're really excited to have this last stretch of games here at home.
We'll talk more about Cornell and Columbia in just a few moments, and somebody is getting inducted into a Hall of Fame. We will tell you all about it in just a moment here on the Mitch Henderson Show, Fox Sports Radio, 920 The Jersey from the Alchemist and Barrister. We'll have more headed your way in a moment. Stay tuned.
And now, more of the Mitch Henderson Show with Derek Jones on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey.
Back here at the Alchemist and Barrister in Princeton, New Jersey, it's the Mitch Henderson Show as we take a look at Princeton Tigers basketball, look at Cornell and Columbia this weekend. But before we hop over to Columbia, I want to take a brief detour because coming up this week, Jonathan Jones is going to be inducted into the Kane University Athletics Hall of Fame. First of all, congratulations. That's a tremendous honor.
Thank you. Thank
Second
you.
Of all, what's it going to be like? What's it going to feel like to be inducted into the Hall of Fame?
It should be good. I feel really, you know, great about it. And it's something that I never, when I got to Kane, I never said, oh, I want to be inducted to the Hall of Fame. It just kind of just happened. And I think me being inducted is not just because of how I play, but I think it's also about, you know, how I carried myself while I was at Kane, my character, my personality. Me just always, you know, just being polite and being speaking with people, and that's what, you know, has me being inducted, and it's really a great honor. My mom is, you know, she was jumping for joy when I gave her the news. You know, our moms are, so it's good for me, my family, and everyone who knows me.
And, you know, a big part of any basketball player is their growth heading into college in particular. Was there anybody who influenced you that made you just say, okay, this is definitely something I want to do, a path I want to follow in life?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, Coach Rob Krasinski, when he coached me at Kane, and I'm actually going to talk about him a lot in my Hall of Fame speech on Thursday, but he really just had a method. He would always say he has a method to his madness, you know, and it's a whole lot of things he would, you know, talk to me about or try to get me to understand. I didn't really see it at the time, but sometimes when somebody says something, you know, to you and you have your own private time to yourself, you start rethinking about what they talked about, and then all of a sudden you realize what they're saying, they're trying to help you, you know. And for me, I'm glad I was able to see that, and that's what made me bring it out within, you know, me working out, me getting myself better, and then it translated to me doing that in practice, and then finally till, you know, game time when the lights is on, you know, and that's kind of how I went from there. So.
Is there one memory that stands out for you during your playing days at Kane?
Playing days, off the top of my head, there actually was this one thing. So we had a guy on our team named Mike Burton. He was really small, but what happened was, every year, I think his birthday always landed around like a couple of days of like one of the days of practice. So every time his birthday came around, I would always dunk on him in practice. I did it all the time, and I would be like, "Happy birthday!" I was like, every single time. So for 2-3 years in a row, he got dunked on every single day. Every single time it was his birthday, he got dunked on, and that was just my thing. And I did that to him only because, like, I could never beat him in a shooting competition ever. Now, he could shoot the lights out. We would do, like, try to make first one to 10. He'll beat me, like, 10 to, like, 6. I would never win, but my thing was, all right, but on your birthday, you're going to get dunked on.
He's not doing that to you, is he?
I try to just run the opposite way, yeah, and just hope that he doesn't do that, you know, and stay away from the rim at all points. I just go three-point line to three-point line, so I try my best.
Yeah. Coach Edden, what's it been like having him on the coaching staff? He's been obviously a great addition and a big help to the team.
It's been great. I mean, you know, I think there's not a better person than Jonathan Jones. I mean, he's, you know, just an incredible person to be around every day in the office. I mean, when you're with a staff, you spend – countless hours. I mean, we're up in that third floor office together for a long time and a lot of hours, and it makes all the difference when you have such a great person like him, you know, on staff, and he's done a tremendous job, you know, on the court with our guys, and, you know, I think he's just brought a different element to our program and our team that's really made a difference, and, you know, I'm so thankful to just, you know, be able to learn from him, work with him every single day, and, you know, just have him around. It's really been a blessing, and we're lucky to have him.
Absolutely, and it'll be an action-packed next few days because you have that, and then, of course, the Friday-Saturday games with Cornell and Columbia. We talked about the Columbia game a little while ago with Coach Henderson and the defensive efforts of the Tigers in game one, where you're able to limit them to under 50 points. I would think you're expecting a tremendous response to that from the Columbia side here in game two.
Absolutely. I wish we could say, hey, let's just do that again.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's going to be really tough. You know, they're a really good team. They can really shoot the ball. You know, they rely heavily on the three-point shot. So it's, you know, in preparation for that, you know, we really got to focus on guys like Quentin Adlish and Gabe Stefanini and Jake Killingsworth, who can really shoot the ball. And, you know, it's going to take a team collected effort from everybody. And it's going to be a challenge. They're going to be ready for us. And, you know, hopefully we can get our guys ready for them as well.
What do you look at out of that first game? And I've always been interested in terms of teams that win the first time around. Do you go crazy making adjustments based off of what you saw the first time around versus the second time around? Certainly there's some things when you take a look at that first game from the Tigers. Offensively, at times it was kind of up and down. Are there things you look at and say, we need to do this better in order to be able to survive this weekend?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, you play every team twice in this league, so you know, you have to watch the game film with a critical eye and really see, hey, this is where they took advantage of us and this is where we might have taken advantage of them, and, you know, really be able to, you know, harp on those details. And, you know, I think there's some defensive things that we got to change up a little bit, and then harp on some things that we did really well and make sure that we're carrying that over as well. And, you know, same thing on the offensive end. So you really got to study it. I mean, they're a totally different team. We're a totally different team. So you just got to be ready for the new version of Columbia, and hopefully, you know, our guys are ready for that.
One player I wanted to ask you guys about was Max Johns. He really seems to be coming on from the defensive side in particular. That just seems to be another weapon the Tigers can throw in the mix, especially off the bench, depending on how the game goes.
Yeah, Max has done really well for us, really, and all he's really done is just went out and played his game. You know, Max knows what his strengths are, you know, and obviously we're going to, as time goes on, especially spring and summer, work on some of the things he's not as great at as of yet. But I'm really loving his performance defensively. He has some things that are Miles Stevens-esque a little bit, and hopefully, you know, because obviously we lose Miles after this year, but, you know, hopefully he can be that guy for us. We'd be like, all right, Max, you got to go stop a Matt Morgan, or you got to go in there and, you know, try to stop, you know, a Stefanini, you know, things like that. And I'm just loving the way how Max is, and he's taking coaching so greatly, and he's just continuing to improve, and I'm can't wait to see his improvement over the years.
It's an exciting time for Tigers basketball as they get set for Cornell and Columbia Friday and Saturday. Gentlemen, thanks for once again joining us here on the Mitch Henderson Show.
Thanks, Derek. Appreciate
no problem,
it.
Derek.
Stay tuned. We'll take one final break. When we come back, we'll wrap it up here from the Alchemist and Barrister in downtown Princeton, New Jersey. This is the Mitch Henderson Show on 920 The Jersey, Fox Sports Radio. Stay tuned.
And now, more of the Mitch Henderson Show with Derek Jones on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey.
Welcome back to the final segment of the Mitch Henderson Show right here in Princeton, New Jersey at the Alchemist and Barrister, which is proud to host the Mitch Henderson Show every Tuesday night. Join us each week for the latest on the Princeton Tigers basketball team. Stop in the A&B all day Sunday, Monday, or Tuesday with a ticket stub from any Princeton men's or women's 2018-19 home basketball game and enjoy a free order of Alchemist and Barrister signature nachos. As we get you set here for this weekend of Tigers basketball, it will be Princeton versus Cornell first on Friday night. Special start time of 8 p.m. as the Tigers and Big Red match up for the second time this season. It'll be a rematch from a game earlier this season in which Princeton won 70-61 in overtime back on February the 2nd. In that contest, the Tigers utilized some key plays down the stretch, especially on the defensive side, as they were able to limit Cornell to just 5 points in OT. Princeton led in that game by Richmond Ariri Guzzo, who had 20 points in the contest to help pace the Tigers. He also chipped in with 5 rebounds as well. And a big part of the Tigers' success that night, a team-high 3 assists, too. So he was a big-time player in that contest, Miles Stevens with 15, Ryan Schwieger with 14 in the win for the Tigers, who won that game despite not having the services of Devin Kennedy, and then also Jalen Llewellyn left the game late due to an injury, but the Tigers were able to persevere and hold on for a 9-point win in overtime. Then one night later, it will be Princeton taking on Columbia in Jadwin Gymnasium. That one with an 8 p.m. start time as well, as the Tigers get set to finish up the New York swing. We mentioned the matchup earlier this season against the Lions, where Princeton really did a number on them from the defensive side. They won 55-43, 3 players in double figures in that contest, Miles Stevens with 17, Ryan Schwieger with 15, and Jalen Llewellyn with 10 to help pace the Tigers. And really, one of the critical takeaways here as we begin to wrap things up is looking at the Ivy League top four right now. As we mentioned earlier, Yale 7-1, Harvard 6-2, Princeton 5-3, Cornell 5-3, and then Penn and Brown hovering with a 3-5 mark, Dartmouth 2-6, and Columbia at 1-7. Cornell is definitely an interesting team to watch here this weekend and moving forward here if you're a Tigers fan, because after Friday night, I should say, heading into Friday night, they have 4 straight games on the road, and then their first game back at home after that 4-game road swing is against Harvard. So Princeton, Penn, Yale, Brown, and Harvard that could be a large determining factor if the Big Red are able to make the Ivy League tournament. If they can come away with an above 500 mark during that run, that could very well help propel them into the top four and into the Ivy League tournament. But conversely, if they can't find a way to take care of business to some degree on the road, then, of course, at home to close out the season with Harvard and Dartmouth, they could be in big-time trouble. So the summary of all of that is to tell you, do not count out Penn and Brown and also Dartmouth and Columbia in a different way. While those teams are in a three-game hole in the terms of Dartmouth and then Columbia being in a four-game hole right now, those teams, at the very least, could very well turn into spoilers. We've seen that in past seasons in Ivy League play, teams having trouble playing at Dartmouth. That is a dangerous place to play. And as the Tigers saw on Saturday, they are a very dangerous team with some outstanding shooters, and they could be heard from, despite their 2-6 record in the Ivy League, they could have a huge determining role on who finishes in the top of the Ivy League and getting set for the Ivy League tournament. That'll just about do it for us this evening from the Alchemist and Barrister. Special thanks to the head coach of the Princeton Tigers, Mitch Henderson, along with Jonathan Jones and Sky Etten of the Princeton coaching staff. I'm Derek Jones saying so long, and we'll talk to you next Tuesday night at 6 for the Mitch Henderson Show. Have a good night, everybody.